Winston City Council, December 4th, 2023, 7 p.m.
Councilor Cunningham.
Here.
Councilor Hobson.
And
Councilor Anderson.
Here.
And I'm here as well. Thank you. Adjustments to the agenda, Mr. Thomas?
Yes, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So the proceeds that were gained from the Oktoberfest event, the checks are to be distributed to the three nonprofit organizations selected: Source One Serenity, Ride for 22, and Association of Vietnam Veterans of America. One couldn't be here tonight, the latter.
So we're going to split the check amongst ourselves.
They still do get their proceeds.
Oh, okay, good.
Being nonprofit.
They get theirs on Thursday.
On Thursday, yes, they will drop in person. But the first two, Source One Serenity, Ride for 22, they are both present.
Cool. And those checks were for $4,411.73 times three. And Katie, I appreciate your efforts in that regard for getting that Water Winston event going. Thank you very much.
Absolutely.
Okay, before we start the public hearing, we had a Christmas tree lighting on Saturday. If anybody happened to be driving by the park or through downtown Winston, they would have noticed that it was a bit soggy. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was going to clear up. It almost got to my ankles, clear up there, my ankles. I failed to, when I was lighting the tree, I failed to thank Roseburg Forest Products for the donation of the tree. I failed to thank PP&L for the use of the boom truck for getting the lights up there. And then I also failed to thank the Melon Festival. And so I got all in right now just to make things right. Public hearing.
How about the thank you note
to them? We can do that too. You going to write that?
Actually, it's the mayor's job.
Okay. I'll get a guy on it. So we're going to have a public hearing. It's consent to annex planning file number 23-W005. And we're going to start the public hearing process now. This hearing is now open for the planning department. File number 23-W005, a request for annexation inside the city limit of Winston. We identify the party status. Be it noted that for the record, the applicant and the city each have party status. Is there anyone present who is affected, an affected agency who owns property with 150 feet of the subject property who wants party status? Seeing no one. Is there anyone who may be especially, personally, adversely, or substantially affected by the outcome of these proceedings who believes they are entitled to party status? Has staff received any written request for party status?
We have not.
Do any members of the council have a financial interest in the property which is being subject of, which is the subject of this hearing?
No.
No.
Do any members stand to gain or lose any financial benefit as a result of the outcome of this hearing?
No.
Have any members discussed this matter with the appellant or the interested party prior to the start of this hearing?
No.
Have any council members met as a group to discuss this matter prior to the start of this hearing?
No.
Do any members wish to disclose any facts which might create the appearance that they may have a conflict of interest or are otherwise unable to participate in this hearing in a fair and objective manner?
No.
Does any party have an objection to any of the council members participating in this hearing? Council qualification is complete. We will proceed with the hearing. Can the staff report, please, Mr. McIntosh?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. The property owner is located at 151 Winston Section Road. Have a sanitary sewer septic system that is in failing nature, so they requested from the city to connect into the sanitary sewer main line, which is located in Winston Section Road. The petition was put in June of this year. It was processed through the Winston Planning Commission, and they held a public hearing on it and offered a recommendation of approval. The city of Winston has an ordinance in place that requires any request to connect to sanitary sewer main lines. It requires a full annexation. The property owners have thus done so by consent. There's a map indicating where it's located. If you can recall, last year we did the same process on the neighboring property, 161, which was Ronald and Sheila Bly. A lot of these houses in this area are kind of the same age, and therefore they have the same septic systems that were installed around the same age. As a matter of fact, most of the houses along that area of Winston section were built in either the late 1940s or early 1950s, and so therefore have old antiquated sanitary sewer systems. Staff is recommending approval of the consent to annex into the city limits. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Does the applicant wish to present testimony? Are there any parties who wish to speak in favor of the application? Any parties wishing to speak in opposition to the application? We're going to close this hearing now. Thank you. The council can deliberate on the decision. We'll be reaching later in the meeting with the resolution for that. Anyone wishing to discuss items not covered on this agenda are welcome to address the City Council as a whole. Please state your name and address for the record. Each speaker will be given a maximum of 3 minutes. Speakers may not defame, intimidate, or use profanity or personal affronts. The Council reserves the right to delay action until they have full information on the issue. Anyone like to speak to Council? Okay. So would representatives from Source for Serenity please come forward? Here's your check.
Yes, thank you so much. May I also say a couple of words?
Okay, just this once. Please.
First of all, so thank you so much for all your hard work, Katie's hard work, to implement this event, this fundraising event, so to benefit veterans. And I actually just wanted to read shortly just a testimonial from one veteran, and it's on behalf of our local veterans. This testimonial is from a post-9/11 combat veteran who participated in our trail work at the Boulder Creek Wilderness at the Umpqua National Forest. This is what he said. Although many veterans will never again experience meaning in their lives like that felt in the service, there are ways that we can experience a small measure of purpose and accomplishment in community service. For me, contributing to trail work allows veterans and other members of our society to get out and experience the healing power of nature in ways that might not be possible if these trails did not exist. I find meaning in sweating and straining in manual labor across from other veterans who find purpose in hard work that ultimately benefits the greater good of our community. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Yes,
Thank you. And now, right for 22. Who drew the short straw there?
Hi.
Congratulations.
Thank you. I want to take this time to, of course, thank Katie for all her hard work raising the funds. And just to let you know that all the funds that we raise, we also give to another nonprofit so they can keep their nonprofit running. We also give money for the families that are left behind that are struggling after their loved ones taken their lives. Ride for 22, his mission is very short. First thing is we educate the public on vet suicide. To let everybody know, 22 plus one active member takes their life every day in the United States. So we have two big events. We have a kickoff party, and then we have a 5K and a motorcycle ride. And that's where our riders and our runners pick a picture of a vet they're honoring that day. So these families know that their loved ones are never going to be forgotten. And as long as we keep doing our nonprofit, they will never be forgotten. So thank you very much for this check. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, reports, boards, commissions, and schools. Park Board, Alicia.
Not much to update, other than we are moving to quarterly meetings. So the next meeting will be March 12th. There is also some movement on the memorial for Nikki McBride. They are looking into the plaque at Civic Wayside Park, but we're waiting on an official worksheet for that before we bring it forward to council.
Thank you. Anything else? Any questions for Alicia? Thank you. Economic Development, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So real quickly, the Economic Development Committee met, and there were a couple of things to highlight on the agenda. Brian Prowitz attended the meeting, who is the Umpqua Economic Development Partnership Director, and he contributed, introduced himself, offered assistance to the city. When we held a meeting some time back, the resounding sense in terms of the partnership, in terms of assisting cities, was just finding ways to push forward new commercial or industrial development to contribute to the city. New opportunities in that regard, how the city can partner with those types of operations that have the inclination of coming in. And I think Brian is going to be a real, a huge help in that regard. Seems to be taken to the position with a lot of fire, and he plans on attending our committee meetings in the future, all of our meetings. So he attended, offered support. The committee also entertained a vote for the installation of two new signs. This will come before the URA body shortly. We just got new quotes. So the City Hall sign here needs to be replaced. There's also a new Wander Winston, which runs in concert with some of the events. The Oktoberfest and the Wine Walk fall under that umbrella. The new Wander Winston sign would go over by the Visitor Center sign. Both of those would fall probably more appropriately under the URA facade side because it's enhancing facades here. So the most recent quote we got, it depends on the schematic that we come up with, but it would be between the $300 and $400 range for both of those, not including installation. So the Economic Development Committee voted to recommend approval of both of those to the URA board.
So that goes to URA, right?
It does.
Thank you.
Yep. That concludes my report.
Anything else for Thomas?
I just have one question, and I don't know if I should bring it up now, but I was just wondering, sometimes our meetings that we have should be posted out on the reader board. Would be a real good idea. Like if there's, like this time the URA was canceled and then set another side, if they could put it up there so everyone would know. And I don't know who does that, whether it was Katie or we hire someone else, but I thought that would be a good idea also a day before the meeting here to flash it up there so people that are coming home could see it and say, oh, don't forget the meeting.
Yeah, that's something we can definitely look into. I know it takes a little tweaking to use that. We've got to set and program that in, and we can do some checking on who operates that. Our quote that we had before was only good for 15 days. These operations, they want new quotes all the time. So it had just gone. So we couldn't present that before you without a value.
How long is this one for?
This one was just acquired, as far as I know today. So it's good for a couple of weeks.
But we're not going to have a URA meeting, are we?
That's something that we were going to entertain tonight for the council. If in a week's time on a Thursday, we can get that date for you. That'll be later in the meeting, a recommendation from staff.
Okay. Thank you, Thomas. Anything else for Thomas? Department reports. Sergeant, please.
Good evening, councilors, mayor, city members. I just have a couple things to report on. I'll give you guys some updates on what's going on with the police department. So currently we're working on a CAD upgrade, which is our computer data terminal system in the cars. And so Douglas County, we had what a program called EIS that integrated with our report writing system, also integrated with our evidence with bar tagging. Well, the system, they quit updating it. So we have some issues there. And it's big money. So the commissioners got together and they decided to go with this program called Tyler System. And what's interesting about that is about
13 or 14 years ago, I was in the meeting with the other chiefs, and we wanted to go with the timer system. And the commissioners at that time took low bid and went with EIS. Now that we're on the Tyler system for our CAD, it doesn't integrate and work with our report writing system. It works with dispatch. It doesn't connect with our jail system. It doesn't connect with our evidence. So now we're doing a little bit more work, which is not possible, but we can get it done. We're going to start transitioning probably our report writing system when everyone else decides to do that in the next 2 or 3 years. And that's going to be a big process. In the meantime, during this, as you folks have found that I'm not giving you guys a weekly report because I don't have the data to collect. I talked to Brad O'Dell, who's in charge at the Sheriff's Office for the system upgrade, and he basically told me that all the chiefs have called him, and they're wanting to know if we're going to ever get data or collection of, you know, to find out what we're doing. And he said that they're working out all the kinks. This system has been a disaster, okay? And I just talked to the chiefs in Sutherland and Myrtle Creek, and they're not happy either. But we don't have any money to fix the problem. We're just going to live with what we got. But that being said, Brad told me that probably around February or March, they're going to start working on trying to create basically a data collection system within the program to collect the data that we want. So I have a chiefs meeting next week. We're going to kind of discuss that a little bit and try to figure out what data we all want to collect, because all of us want different stuff, right? So we're going to kind of come to a consensus on that and get that organized. So just be patient. If you guys have questions or concerns, I by all means can do some research, but it's going to be a lot of work to do that research that you need that I typically get populated right away. So you'll still get information on code enforcement, so I'll still be sending that to Thomas so you guys get that information. And any other pertinent information I put in my other little section of the report, you'll have that. So you just won't have the data, which kind of, it's not the greatest thing, because every year, at the end of the year, I review the data to see where we're at, see what we've done, if we're staying consistent, and now it's going to be messed up for a year. It happens. We received about $50,000 back for the car that started on fire and burned up in the mountains. So, which is a good thing. I haven't dedicated those funds for anything. I'm just going to leave them alone for right now. A new canine car is close to $80,000, so we're not there. So my recommendation at this point is to leave it alone. We won't mess with it right now. I do need to do some upgrades on some vehicles, but we can wait until next budget year for that. So that's the plan there. So I got some exciting news, and it's kind of cool. I'm excited about it. So Winston PD has been literally the only agency, I'll say the only agency, there's been a couple others, but for the most part to get lateral officers to apply for us. Our one officer that was out on medical all year, he finally is now gone. I was elk hunting when this happened. So I had the sergeant open it up. We got a lateral officer that put in for it. The staff really likes him. So I'm looking at maybe picking him up, and I should know something next week or two. And probably the exciting part is that if I get him picked up, what the public doesn't realize is that to train a police officer from brand new, the city of Roseburg is going through it really rough right now. It takes literally about a year and a month before I take that officer and put him on the schedule to actually cover a shift. It's just all the training and all the extra CYA stuff they're having us do now. It's incredible, and it's insane. I mean, if I started over, I'd probably never pass. But that being said, it's pretty difficult now. And so that is if the candidate does everything right every single week through his training. And Roseburg City is like an 80% washout right now. So it happens, and it's not. I have my theories on why it's happening. I won't go political on everyone, but there's a reason why it's happening. So I'll leave it at that. The officer, if we hire this lateral, it'll be about an 8-week turnaround. Depending on his training ability, I'm looking at 6 to 8 weeks with us for training before I put him on the schedule. So it's a huge difference. But he's going to go into step 3 pay, so, which is where he'd be. So there's a little bit more cost to it, but overall, at the end of the day, for the overtime, it's saving my staff. You know, they're getting burned out, so. And I got an officer getting ready to go on baby leave for 12 weeks, so that's going to hurt too. Let's see here. Oh, something I didn't mention on the last one is the Tippy Hero. I was really excited about it. So Tippy Hero, I'm sure you folks have seen it, where we go to Carlos's and try to raise money for the sex trafficking. So I got our
you need to phrase that a little bit differently. I'm just saying.
Human sex trafficking task force, Douglas County. Anyways, yeah, I get it. I'm Italian. I always said it. Anyway, so we did the fundraiser and we beat everyone in the county.
We did.
So I was pretty excited about that. And I actually told the lady, I'm like, because they were kind of holding it down. It's like, oh yeah, Winston is like, whoa, time out. Yeah. Time out. Our community stepped forward, and you're going to get in the paper, and you're going to get on Facebook, and you're going to, and they're like, I'm like, we got bragging rights, right? We won. So I really pushed that. It was us in the fire department that did it. And staff did a great job. I mean, we made it perfect, and I'm not giving away my secrets, but I put the fire guys in the bar, right? No one wants to be drinking with cop around, so fire guys went to the bar, right? So fire guys went to the bar, and I was like the Walmart greeter, and I was like helping everything, because there's no way I could do tips, and I'd have a mess. So I was in there, and I'm just telling them and working them all up, and we got to beat them, and it worked out. So I was pretty excited about that. And we had a great group. We all volunteered our time, and it was awesome. We have a traffic safety meeting coming up on January 8th, Chair. So we're going through some of the stuff on the traffic safety that we discussed. Some things aren't working out like we would like to have. On some of the topics we discussed, I got some more things coming to play that we need to discuss on it. So January 8th is going to be our traffic safety. It'll be at the PD in the conference room. And then the last thing is... the mayor, you were...
Excuse me.
It's all right.
Yeah, I had shut it off.
That's okay.
Obviously, I didn't.
9 hours overtime for the parade is what we paid. So it's like $704. So that's what we did for the Christmas parade. That's it. That's all I got.
Two things.
Yes, sir.
One thing, when you mentioned about the training of the officer.
Yes.
We also have to pay them. Right.
Yeah, so actually I did a cost analysis with the manager when we do a cost analysis with the difference between hiring a new guy and going through the process, and we were into the, it's on my desk right now, it's like $74,000 or something of that nature, and then doing the, because you got to remember is that my officers have a contract, so they get a 5% increase in pay when they're doing field training. So I've always been under the, I always like to see a recruit wage that was less than 5% of their wage that would be with the officer. But we can't even find cops, so you don't want to do that now. But
so that's a big money saver for
them. Yeah, it will help us. I mean, the officer's still going to get a 5% stipend for his field training because he's going to get a minimum of, I'm saying 8 weeks, but maybe if he does really well, it'll be around 6.
And the second thing is, too, is I want to thank you for helping school district with that $400,000 they got for traffic safety, because part of your grant ended up indirectly with the police department. Is that not correct?
It did. I can't take credit for that. That was Kemp. The
well, whoever.
Yeah. So the superintendent school district. We didn't. Our part in this is not huge. A lot of people thought that the repeater system that we were wanting is going to be a part of that grant. It's not. No, so what they're doing is, and I haven't reached out to Kim since I've been back, but I'm going to have a meeting with her. Basically, it's a system for their staff that's going to have like a key card set up, kind of like fall and can't get up, push your button, right, and that type of deal. But it's going to be for emergencies. So the staff will have these little collar things on there, and if they have an active shooter or something really bad, they can tap it and get engagement. As far as the repeater thing goes, we actually, me and Katie sat down and tried to do a grant through Rosa Forest Products. Doesn't look like it went through, but basically I'm trying to find funding for, I would like to get two repeaters, and they have to go in the cars that have the Apex radios. So I have one car that has an Apex radio in it, and one car that doesn't for the school guys. And the car that doesn't have an Apex radio, I need $8,000 for the radio to get an Apex radio in it, and then I need about $6,000 for the repeater. So if I get
a license?
Yeah, that'll all be taken care of through, you know, I can get that taken through our radio maintenance line, but as far as the repeater itself, I actually had Troy, the chief of Sutherland, come down. We used his car. We went out to the high school, and because they had staff talking to the principal out there, saying that the repeaters aren't going to work. And I'm like, yeah, I know a little bit about radios, and they're work. And so we grabbed the chief's car, went down there, and we tried it out, and it worked perfectly.
Good.
So
good.
Yeah, so we need to go that direction. I don't think the $33 million upgrade for our police radio system.
$33 million.
And countywide.
Countywide.
Oh, okay.
Well, and speaking of the radio system, I have said this in our chiefs and sheriffs meetings, the big executive meetings, that You can't expect the municipalities to just come up with millions of dollars. And I asked them about 4 years ago, about 4 years ago, it would be nice to know, if you're looking for funding, that we can create an account that we can start putting money away every year so it doesn't hurt us so bad. And they haven't done it. But they don't even know what they've done studies. They've spent $100,000 on the last study. Our 911 system is failing throughout Douglas County, and it's failing bad. Our dispatch center, the girls there are a 10. The center itself is a 10, but the actual structures, all the towers around the county are failing. And so we're going to have a big issue, and the county's going to have a big issue. And so are we. So part of this DRMS radio system that I put together locally for us, it's going to help us locally for our inner departments, but it has nothing to do with 911. So that's it. And that's basically for disaster preparedness. So, that's it.
Thank you, Chief. Any more questions for the Chief? All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Public Works, Mr. Howell.
Hey, Mayor, Council, members of the audience. Good evening. I just wanted to kind of go over a couple of our projects and kind of some time frames, because I know that one of the things that we hear quite often is the length of processes that it takes to get projects completed from start to finish and things like that. So we'll kind of go back to Snow Pump Station. In 2015, we had the pre-design contract was awarded in 15, and we had the notice award in 2019. During that process, the original design of Snow, there was quite a few changes made to that one. I think this council, most of you recall these changes that came back, but the original design was calling for leaving the 8-foot diameter wet well. The existing sump on that was about a foot and a half deep, which didn't allow the actual proper operation of the pumps. It was utilizing the existing dry well, which was an old hydromatic 28 feet deep dry well. So we made some changes and we came back to council and kind of worked through that. That was part of that process. And then the notice awards was in 19. In our Eastside project, pre-design was in 18 and the notice proceed was in 2021. Our Westside project, we just finished up the pre-design on that one was in 2021 and notice proceed was in 2023. The Community Park Pavilion, the design was in 2021. Notice proceed is in 2023, which we just started on that one. I don't know if anybody's been up there to look at the pavilion, but we got some concrete up there, some footings, some conduit for the power. So that's moving along quite nicely. That'll be a really nice addition to the park. Looking forward to that one. Our siphon project, we had the pre-design October 4th of 21. And we're still waiting for that notice to proceed. That's going to take some work. That's one of our larger, besides Snow, and Snow did take quite a bit of time because we had a lot of different engineering aspects, some geotechnical, some things like that one. But in comparison to Siphon, there's really no comparison. So we have a lot of other things we've got to go through with funding agencies, DEQ, different granting.
Is that package about ready to go?
It's getting close, so we're getting closer on it. So we have more boxes, to check off as we go through that. So it just takes some time. And then we have our next project we're working on, Daryl. Pre-design is in 23, and notice proceed is to be determined. We're hoping that we can move forward with that this summer sometime, if the stars align, so to speak.
Could you explain to the audience what the project is?
Yeah, Northeast Darrow, we're going to be kind of piggybacking off of our last project, which was on the east side project. So we have a section of roadway from Jorgen down to Suksdorf that is in dire straits. The sewer line has outlived its useful life. We'll build some paving, a little bit of storm work. It's approximately about 600 feet or so of storm sewer. So we're looking forward to that one. So we have an estimate of about $387,000 roughly for that project. We'll see when those numbers come back, when we actually get closer. We're hoping, if you recall on the west side, we had five contractors that were interested in the west side, and we had one bid on it. So it's pretty tight on that one, but they were good. Cradar did it. They did a great job. But anyway, just wanted to kind of give council and give some of the time frames of what we're looking at. So happy to answer any questions that may have.
So the Corps of Engineers said that we didn't have to worry about doing anything on the siphon project.
Which is good. Yeah, we got a couple of good comments back on that. And now going through all the cross cutters and everything else that we're working through.
So who are we waiting for? Is there like something with Fish and Wildlife or something we're waiting for?
Yeah, I think Thomas has
got that. Yep.
Covering some of that.
Okay.
A little bit later.
Okay, any questions for Eddie? By the way, nice job getting the streets all marked out for the rain, for the tree lighting. That was good. And by the way, you too, Chief. Thanks for all that you guys did there. That was good show.
That's longer.
Okay, thank you, Andy. Thomas, Public Administration and Planning, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. A couple things. The first thing, in concert with the timelines that Andy was sharing in regards to some of our projects, the largest by far and away from a budgetary and from an infrastructure standpoint is our sanitary sewer siphon. Collects all of our wastewater in one location, and it puts it underneath the South Umpqua River before it discharges into the plant. It's outlived its useful life. It was built in 78, and so essentially we've been going through, and this started 3 years ago. We all know that, you know, those of us that have been a part of this process. Whenever you're dealing with plant, aquatic, natural features, there's always some additional provisions, a significant amount of additional provisions. So just to give you kind of broad strokes, with the idea of providing somewhat of a timeline that essentially is always a moving target, but to give you a general timeline, we have started our process with the Department of Environmental Quality. We were cleared through the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. They don't require a permit, which is a big victory. We can't speak enough on that victory, because that would take another year to do analyses and get through all of that. So we've been cleared through them. We've also been cleared through the Department of State Lands, who governs wetlands. So we're not going to be disturbing or encroaching. One thing that we haven't addressed that will be part of our DEQ funding package requirements would be the National Marine and Fisheries, which is NIMS. And they have been contacted on what type of analysis will be sufficient. That could take 6 to 8 months, that type of analysis, if we need to do one. The Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, or ODF&W, they've been contacted in regard. Usually we cover their requirements when we submit for the Corps of Engineer and DSL joint permit. So it's possible that they cleared us too, but our engineering outfit is fleshing that out. The Department of Historic Preservation Office, or SHPO, to discount any kind of archaeological artifacts or anything that might be discovered, which is typically if you find something during construction, if you find an artifact, stop, call the SHPO office. They have to investigate. There's those types of things. So we may have to have a study on that. That could take 6 months. And then, of course, the floodplain certification that is well underway. We've had that one under review for some time, and the engineering company West Consultants is well on their way to doing that hydraulic model. So all things accounted for, worst case scenario, we could be through a bidding and into a construction process summer 2025.
So it's a speedy process is what you're trying
to say. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Very speedy process. And
so that's the worst case scenario. What's the best case?
Well,
Tuesday?
Well, that would be preferable.
Yeah.
If we don't face some of these additional environmental encumbrances or analysis, then we could be looking at the spring or summer of, or the fall of next year, towards fleshing out a bidding package. But that is a very optimistic timetable in that regard. Happy to take any questions on the siphon. I want to commend Public Works. They've been really the anchor on this project, understanding that how important it is. If those pipes fail, they collect all the wastewater. And we don't just got a problem in the city where people can't flush their toilets. We also have a river environmental problem, right? So it's high priority everywhere, which is why it's number one on our capital improvement plan. So we're really spearheading that and doing the best we can to push it forward.
I live rather high on a hill.
But you don't have a septic, do you?
Yep.
You still discharge into the system.
My neighbor's house.
Okay.
Any more questions for Thomas?
I have one more thing to bring before the body of the council. Really quickly, if you can recall some time back, we passed a camping ordinance that ran in concert with state legislation that required us to do so. There was a House Bill 3115 that required us to address how the homelessness were habitating public spaces. So that was passed. Flush to what there were options that were given. The city, of course, used our option to pass an ordinance to regulate time, place, and manner. That's some of the historical relevance on that. The attorney that assisted all the cities, including ours, Aaron Heisel, very helpful. He sent a follow-up email a week ago giving some updates on the litigation that's happening in larger cities around. So there's only three that merit some special attention. The first one, Duncan versus City of Portland. This one is in regards to their daytime camping ban, and it's being challenged because it's considered unreasonable under the statute because some homeless individuals have to sleep during the day because they have graveyard shifts. It's being challenged in that regard. It's also being challenged on another minor case that because the maps that were published are confusing and not available to some people experiencing homelessness because they don't have internet access. So that's also being fleshed out. That's Duncan versus Portland. That case may come up again. We're just keeping our eyes on it because it's going to provide new case law and clarify how the process is supposed to be orchestrated. The second one is Bordeaux versus City of Medford. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. And this one's a little more minor in nature. It is challenging what they define as established campsites. Medford defines an established campsite as you're setting up at a location 5 days or more. That's being challenged in that one. So that was brought to our attention by the attorney. The last one is the one that we've heard about for since the beginning of the entire process, and that's Blake Johnson versus Grants Pass. And there have been 120 groups, individuals behind 20 different states that have came forward trying to gain some clarification. And that far, there's only 9 states in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal. So that far is, that falls way beyond just our circuit. So that's probably, if the Supreme Court decides to hear it, they will likely hear oral arguments summer of 2024. So next year.
I thought they refused to hear that.
Not as of now, unless there's something new on that.
Oh, no, I'm sorry. That was
they're petitioning.
That was the Newport thing. Never mind.
They're petitioning. That might be the recreational trails one. So they're petitioning for a certification to be heard. If it's granted, then they'll hear oral arguments in summer 2020. How does this affect Oregon? It doesn't, because we have the House bill now that governs how we have to regulate.
Until it gets challenged.
Until it gets challenged. So just keeping tabs on those, because we do have an ordinance in place and it may affect in some regard. Happy to take any questions.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Any questions for Thomas? Great. Okay, on the new business, see any possibility for council workshops before January?
No, Your Honor, but we do recommend a URA meeting Thursday the 14th at 5 p.m. to entertain the installation of the signs.
Fellow URA board members, or we should probably speak to the
December,
board
so we
chairman or president, as it is. So the 14th at 5.
Make it a hurry one, though.
Can we phone it in?
If there's some unavailability, we can always get a new quote and we can push it to January.
Oh, you need
it's perfect,
right?
Yep. Just need a quote.
Thank you. Two things. B on this is the staff Christmas party and holiday gift cards. The staff Christmas party is Thursday at noon.
It's the 7th at from 2 to 4.
2 to 4
at the community center.
Oh, 2 to 4.
Okay. That's correct.
I'd have been early. Okay, and then holiday gift cards for staff.
Thank you, Mayor, members of council. As you can recall, last year the council awarded staff gift cards in the amount of $50 to Sherm's. And the question would be is if that tradition is going to be continued.
Councilor White, that was your idea. What do you think? Could you do it again?
Yeah. The only thing that I was wondering if we couldn't do it to either Weimark or to someone in Winston rather than outside of Winston. That's my only suggestion.
Can certainly look into it. You can pass a motion for a gift card and
you make that motion.
Appropriate venue.
Sorry, you want to make that motion?
Okay, I make a motion that we give the gift card to either to one of the businesses in town. I won't name them, but okay.
Second. Have a motion and a second, and that is to clarify. That's the amount of $50.
$50, definitely $50.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. It's unanimous. Thank you very much. Good call, Dory. Resolution number 23-1110, the Senior Center grant. Mr. McIntyre, by title only, please. No, excuse me. Cindy Sardi. Ms. Sardi, by title only, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, everyone. Resolution number 23-1110, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to accept a grant from Douglas County for the purchasing of new equipment to be provided to the Senior Center program in the amount not to exceed $3,075.
Mr. McIntosh. Thank you, Cindy. Mr. McIntosh, you have a staff report, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. This resolution is fairly straightforward. Our programs that lease our community center spaces, we try to advocate for every bit of money that we can. This particular grant comes from Douglas County, the Lands Department, and it is specifically to provide new flatware, new silverware, and a six-unit shelving receptacle. So the money was there, it was available, so we did apply and we were awarded in the amount of $3,075. We have received it, but we can't quite accept it until you entertain this resolution.
Perfect. So thank you for the county. Any questions for Thomas? Comments?
Would you repeat exactly what we're going to use? Is it a three-sink thing or... I couldn't hear
it. It's shelving units and it's new silverware for the senior
center.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping they put it, I went and looked at a three sink in there and they don't have that because they can't.
There's one in the kitchen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the one in the big kitchen. The right. Little one right there is what I'm saying because they can't do. To the health, you have to have three separate sinks. Well, we only have two in there.
You do. The environmental health requirements.
Yeah.
Specify that you need different bays there. But
they're not washing dishes there.
No, this...
that's just requirement, whether they're washing dishes or not.
If you're doing commercial kitchen-type operations, but this runs more specifically in concert with the Meals on Wheels type venue. So the new flatware would go directly towards that. And the shelving for just storage.
Okay. Any more questions? Okay. Seeking a motion, please.
I'll make a motion that we approve resolution 23-1110.
Have a motion. Looking for a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same side? Unanimous decision. Thank you. Resolution 23-11111. RV disposal second extension. Ms. Sardi, please. Title only.
Resolution number 23-1111, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to enter into the second extension of an intergovernmental agreement with Douglas County for storage and disposal of abandoned recreational vehicles and motorhomes towed from city property.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Chief Sardi, staff report, please.
Okay, so this agreement was done with, I did some research last year to try to figure out what we can do with the RVs because of the very expensive costs that involves in dealing with them and storing them and all that. Douglas County Sheriff's Office was lodging, or taking them up to the dump, so they were towing them up on top of the dump in the upper lots up there. and then after 90 days, they were destroying them. Guess where? The dump. So we reached out last year to try to get that done. We got an IGA set up with the Douglas County Commissioners. That was approved last year. Basically, this is just to continue the agreement. So they charged us $10 a day. We totally skated. I'm being recorded. We totally skated on one RV that actually they got rid of for us, and we didn't know. And I forgot about it because one of the officers towed it. And, you know, and so it was up there. It's not like I go up to the dump, and it sat up there for a long time. So they destroyed it. That was several years ago. Past anything else? But anyways, so I'm off topic. Basically,
we're going to go further.
Yeah, we just want to continue this agreement. Is what we're trying to do. So the staff recommends that we approve it for.
So we're not using Andy's facility any longer for storage?
Well, look at it. There's a big old pause over there. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. I don't think so.
I made some money on that last one, Mayor.
Did you really?
$10,000.
Wow. Well, now that I have a lot in the back, he wanted me to put my line in. It's not going there. So we're just trying to get it approved by council for.
Okay, thank you much, Chief. Any comments from the audience or questions?
I do.
Yes.
Are we not taking them to metal, like McGovern's or the one out? We're putting them into the dump?
Yes. Yeah.
There's a lot more there than just metal, and there's a lot of contaminants that.
Yeah, you got to get
the gutters. Yeah, that's why I'm wondering.
Yeah, so like the sewer tanks need to be pumped, and there's a huge cost. The basically, when we tow a vehicle, we don't worry about it. It's not our world. We tow it off the street, and it's the tow company's problem and the owner's problem. When the RV started getting dumped everywhere, that's when the tow company said, hey, we're not making any money on this. As a matter of fact, we're losing money by having to destroy and store them.
Right.
So then they just quit towing RVs. It's not like I have a tow truck in my yard. So we're stuck with these RVs, and we don't know what to do with them. The sheriff's office, when they decided to do it with, and made an agreement with their dump facility. When I heard about that, I was like, oh wow, I want to jump on that. So that's an angle for us to get rid of them. They charge us $10 a day.
Yeah.
We have to store it for 90 days by state law. After 90 days, we can have it dismantled. And then they'll charge us for the dismantling. So we're still going to be into it for probably $3,000 or $4,000.
And then they just dump it over the top and bury it.
I don't know what they do with it. No clue.
I need to talk to
them. Actually, totally don't want to know that part. I just want to know that it's gone. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So do we still have a lot of them up there?
We have none up there. Yeah. So the one that they dumped right up here on Glen Hart in front of a guy's driveway, I actually tracked that guy down from Lane County, and I told him I'd go up there and arrest his, never mind, if he didn't come out and get it. So they got it. And Andy finally got rid of it.
The
guy actually came down and got it. I threatened him for literally.
The frequency, if I remember right, Chief, we've only done that once or twice.
This is our third one, I think. We had the one down, that big RV that was like, it was a monstrosity. It was huge. It was like two buses long that they parked down the boat ramp. Yeah, we dealt with that. Other than that, that's it.
We're not looking at more than 1 or 2 years more.
Correct.
But you're basically, if you got $10 a day and you got to hold for 90 days, there's $900
right there just in storage. Yeah.
And you haven't dismantled it yet.
Right. That's not the dismantle. That's not going in and emptying out the toilets and doing all the stuff, the hazmat stuff that they're required to do. So, yeah. There's a huge cost in it. And a lot of cities are having that problem. And thank God the county commissioners, actually, I thought they helped us out. So.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. Any more comments or questions for the Chief? Looking for a motion to approve Resolution 23-1111.
I make a motion to approve number 23-2011.
Thank you. Looking for a second, please?
Second.
I have a motion, a second, any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign? That was unanimous. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Resolution 23-1112, by title only, please, Ms. Sardi.
Resolution number 23-1112. A resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the City Manager to enter into an agreement with Winston Area Community Partnership to lease area within the Community Center for the perpetual operation of the Teen Center Program.
Okay, Thank you, Ms. Hardy. Staff report, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. We'd like it to be known that this teen center process, the lease agreement in terms of making the adjustments, the revisions, and getting it to its current shape and size that you see today, started January 24th of this year. So it's been a very long negotiated process where we've worked very closely with the Winston Area Community Partnership, or WAKE Up. And the idea and how it started was our surveillance equipment started capturing some teen center activity there in the foyer and outside of the building. So it really impressed upon us that we need to take a look at the lease agreement. There was also an antiquated monthly lease amount, as well as several other provisions. So we have factored in a number of different things that would help with the safety and security of the building, but also help more go towards the financial success of that operation leasing the space. One of the things that was factored in is a divider in between the teen center space and the outside foyer area to help with more of the containment of teen center activity. That was factored in. Another thing that was put in was they used to pay $365. There was a market, essentially for what we can do, a market analysis done for commercial spaces in this regard with the help from Public Works. And the amount that we were proposing was $1,200. It was whittled down to $850, and that's what was agreed upon. The document that you see before you has been reviewed by our city attorney. It has been reviewed by the WAKE Up board. As of November 28th, we received a response from Jeremy Mitchell, who is the chair of the WAKE Up board, indicating that he agrees with all of the current provisions and the agreement in its current capacity. So with that, we recommend approval of the lease agreement. They're having a board meeting on the 11th. So if you entertain approval, it will go to their board meeting with your approval.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Any comments from the audience or questions from council?
Just one thing. Very diplomatically, you said the teen activity. I'd just like to add one word to it. Negative activities. That was not in the best interest of the city, and also at the point that maybe causing some damage. And I find that exceptionally regrettable. Especially if they don't accept responsibility for the behavioral management of the teens.
Can you give some more specific kind of procedures?
Yes. Thank you, Council. So we have a running file that illustrates teens doing teen things, right? So they're going into similar bathrooms. They are pulling out essentially big ball wads of paper towels, distributing those types of things. There's also surveillance equipment of them riding on meal carts and just things like that, that teens, if they're left to their own devices, are going to engage in things like that. So in good conscience, that triggered a process to where, without passing blame, how can we overhaul the lease agreement and offer some mitigating measures, because we do value the teen center operation. It's a great tool and resources for the teens to come after school, get help with their homework, maybe learn some life skills. All of those things are relevant. So we move forward, but it took a while to come to areas of agreement. And the lease agreement you see today is...
Since you addressed those problems, or do we still have the same problems?
Eddie?
Well, they've been doing a really good job, I think, all in all. I mean, they've improved.
A better job?
Yeah, I really think they have been.
They're out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And just to clarify, so say something does get damaged, who pays for that?
Well, the lease agreement is going to require us to go into mediation, but if there's surveillance activity that unequivocally proves that the damage was caused by teen center activities, then the agreement is really going to dictate that they need to either contribute, participate, or cover the entirety of the cost. I mean, that's why it was written up that way. Our public works crew does a tremendous job of taking care of that public facility, and they're the stewards of that building. And you know that it's heartbreaking if we have to do that because of malicious activity. So that's what this is trying to accomplish, so we can continue our partnership in a civil regard.
Thank you, Thomas. Any comments from the audience?
Yes. My name is Christy Glenn Knudsen, 241 Southeast Darrell, Winston. Yes, children will be children when they're unsupervised, but Wake Up has done a really good job at keeping them under control. And since Wake Up built the building with everything in and gave it to the city back in the day of times past, they've done a really good job at trying to make sure that it does stay done and everything is taken care of. Yeah, I was reading the resolution, and it's a great resolution. I was concerned about the internet in there three different times, trying to figure out if the price increase includes the internet, but then they have to get their own internet. But if Jeremy's already approved it, so I don't have anything to say then if he says it's okay.
Sure, we do have an email to that effect, and I appreciate those comments. One of the things that we have to really be realistic on is the cost mm-hmm. of sustaining that facility, and not just for one operation, but we do have the senior center, we have the kitchen agreement, we have lots of people operating in there, and one of the things we may be forced to do in the future is no longer be able to provide internet to the building. They may have to get their own internet accounts. This lease agreement has, at least from a preliminary standpoint, capture that with some language. And as far as we know, it has been agreed on.
I thought the internet was provided by the library, which is no longer a county thing either. So does the city provide the internet service up there now? Or does the libraries?
Yeah, it's because the library is part of the city. So we paid for, we paid for when we had our IT person there, we came through and did a bunch of wireless different things in the different rooms. Because we had a heck of a time with our IT service up there. Mm-hmm. Anybody that's been involved up there knows that the switch relays were bad. We would get we would lose, the team center would lose internet, the library would lose internet. It was a nightmare. So we spent a fair amount of money to get in there and kind of get that updated. So all the new switch panels replaced, and the new Wi-Fi and things like that. So that was some of the things that we've been trying to get updated.
Is Phil still your IT guy?
No, he's been gone for quite some time now. So it was interesting as this last Isaac who we have now, and I'll just briefly, but anyway, we had IT folks come through that community center. It all sounds fine and really nice to open up that room, that MC room in the back. And it was a cobweb of lines and wires because nobody, at one time, that would just be tagged and they would have room A, so you could track stuff out. Well, at some point in time, all that got removed. So nobody knew.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
No, how the data worked there. Nobody could figure it out. So we had to pay, right? Have somebody come in and trace this stuff out. But prior to Isaac being here, it looked really neat to open the door up and everybody just went. They left. He's the first person to actually tackle that job. And he did have a tile drop and create a little bit of debris on the teen center floor. Other than that, that was the only issue that I'm aware of during his work up there. And he went through, I don't know, tile after tile after tile in different areas in that building. So I thought he did.
But thank you for all the work that you're doing on this and helping it take care of itself.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
When was the last time the call at the rent was raised at the teen center?
Oh, the current agreement we have, I think it was originally created in 2008. Mm-hmm. I think the actual financial value is about 15-16 range. I can get that for you. It was pulled back by motion. It was a specific amount, but it was pulled back to a $300 amount, and then the additional storage area, $60. So $360. Mm-hmm. Neil Goodwin, you're standing up. You might have a more relevant date.
I might.
Okay, I'm a volunteer up there. And the Tumbles.
You are, please.
Oh, my name is Nayel Elizabeth Dewey Goodwin. I've been here since 63, and a lot of you know me, and some of you do not.
Anyway. Well, this is just for the record. We have to have your name and address.
Oh, I know that. Oh, my address, so people can come to my house. I mean, I live my street address. My street? Oh, okay. 310. Come and see me. I'm on Hart Street. Anyway, I'm a volunteer up there at the teen center and have been for 14 months or so now. The towel throwing incident happened last winter. Last winter. So we haven't had any children in the main bathrooms there since last winter. They use the one whole bathroom right next to the teen center. We let them go in there one at a time. They have to check out a key. They go into that bathroom, and they come back. They don't get to come in through the door. They have to walk around because nobody comes through that door. There's no access for anyone through that door. Mayor, you can't come through that door. You might. but I'm really concerned about the monitoring system in the teen center. We had a video monitoring system that I hear goes just to the police department, which is fine. But recently, I guess, there's an audio system in there now. And I find that very disturbing. These children, some are in foster homes. Some of them have a lot of major problems, and nobody needs to hear it, okay? I got no secrets. I'll tell you anything right here and now. But I don't think it's legal. I think it's unconstitutional. And I'm probably going to resign from the teen center and pursue legal action. I didn't disparage, did I?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Pick on the kids, man.
Do we actually record what the kids say in there?
So the system itself, every camera has an audio. I had Isaac shut them all off, except like in our lobby area, the police department, in my intoxilizer room where the officers are one-on-one with somebody. I think maybe this one of the lobbies on, maybe. We're monitoring it when there's a problem. There's no one at the PD sitting there just staring at cameras all day long. There's no one there to do that. Yeah. But that allows us to access them. Yes, we can. Now, like, the teen center, I'll have to look. But all of them have the audio capability.
I know, but I see what she's saying.
Yeah.
Kids are discussing among themselves about problems.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't be.
I don't disagree. Would the audio help us on an active shooter there? Yes. After the fact, right? But we're not, I would tell you that if I'm pretty sure they're off, I'll have to look. We're not in there just watching videos. That's not our role. That's not what we do. If no one wants them on, I can turn them all off. I'm going to leave mine on in my lobby, and I'll leave mine on in my, but if they want them off in the entire facility, I have no beef with that. I don't care. Would it benefit us in the future if we did have something active or something bad go on there? Yes, 100%.
Yeah, I could see that. It's just not everyday talk.
But it's, you know, we have it in the parks. I can turn them on in the parks, I suppose, and listen to them in the parks. So we can do that as well. Every one of the cameras we installed on this system has that audio capability.
Has an audio.
Yeah. But to keep our data low, we turn a lot of those off. Like, by design, we turn them off. We don't need to have audio on. So, again, with hers, I don't know. What's that?
I don't monitor. We don't monitor unless there's a problem. Don't tell me to pull them up.
I don't know.
Quite frankly, we're kind of got off point on this.
Yeah.
So we're trying to approve the lease, and we can have a discussion if you want to bring it up in an off agenda item. Counselor, you're more than welcome to do that.
But I think he's already answered it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I think we need to get through the
onward and upward.
Council action on resolution 23-11-12, unless there's anybody else who'd like to speak. Okay. Looking for a motion to approve the teen center lease agreement.
I make a motion we approve 23-11-12, teen center lease agreement.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign? Unanimous. Thank you. Resolution 23-11-13, the CWSRF loan for the wastewater master plan. Read by title only, please, Ms. Sardi.
Resolution number 23-1113, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council, authorizing the city manager to submit a clean water state revolving fund planning loan application for the completion of a wastewater master plan for an amount not to exceed $100,000.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Staff report, Mr. McIntosh, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. So really quick, this one's pretty straightforward, but we are very excited about it because our wastewater master plan dates back to 2016. And quite frankly, it appears as so when we analyze it, there was more or less a template used in that master plan. We're looking for Civil West to turn over a sufficient master plan that would factor in all of the now relevant situation today with our wastewater conveyance system. Luckily, DEQ, through their CWRF plan, this loan package is 100% forgiven. So it's up to $100,000 or whatever your wastewater master plan is going to cost. We've been quoted that amount from the Civil West, and it would be completely forgiven. One of the benefits and one of the intricate parts is understanding the full detriment of our infrastructure. Of course, we all got a pretty good idea, but also getting somewhat of a makeshift capital improvement plan to address the sewer situation. Because then you can start essentially, of course, we know the siphon. We know that there's some other outliers out there. We have aging and old pipes. It's going to tell us that, but it's going to really go into the weeds and help us to prepare in the future with how to address these deficiencies. So we'd like, this resolution is essentially the blessing to submit the application.
So basically, it's saving the city $100,000.
It is. Yeah. That's exactly what it does.
Okay. Will this be applicable to the siphon project?
It will. Yep. There will be some language in there, and it will be called out as one of the necessary items to be. I can only surmise that this would likely be completed prior to our completion of the replacement of the siphon.
Thank you, Mr. McIntosh. Any comments from the audience or questions? Council?
So this is a loan application. So what's the chances of us getting this loan?
We've already scored pretty high. They have a scoring system through DEQ, and we have put our exhibits together. So we've been correlating with Julie through DEQ. We feel that we're going to be very successful with getting it based on the scoring
total
system.
Total payback also.
Mm-hmm.
And when is it supposed to be awarded? Do we know? Like, if we get it?
We're going to be probably well into next year. It'll take 3 or 4 months for them to go through. Once we submit it, it'll take them 3 or 4 months to go through the review process and award it. Of course, it's a loan, so we have to spend the money before we get it gets forgiven.
Thank you. Any more questions or comments? Seeking a motion to approve 23-11-13.
I so move.
Have a motion, looking for a second.
I second.
Have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries unanimous. Thank you. We're going to resolution 23-11-14. The CWSRF Point Source DEQ Funding Application. Ms. Sardi, by title only, please.
Resolution number 23-1114, a resolution of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council authorizing the city manager to submit a Clean Water State Revolving Fund Point Source Project Loan Application to fund the construction and completion of the Winston Inverted Sanitary Sewer Siphon and Northwest Abraham Avenue Sewer Line Projects.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Mr. McIntosh, staff report, please.
Thank you, everyone, for your patience. Mr. Mayor, members of council, members of the audience. This particular package is significant. So there's been a lot of buildup to this. We've been talking a lot about the siphon infrastructure project. We held a one-stop meeting, which is essentially a meeting with all of the funding agencies. Business Oregon, USDA, and DEQ were all present. And we essentially communicated what the projects are that we need and how much money. They have a program to where they award up to $4 million. And they forgive up to half, which is $2 million, of course. So Business Oregon first presented their scenario, which was a $4 million package over a 30-year loan term with nothing forgiven. And that would be at 4.1% interest, and it would require us to raise our monthly sewer bill to $47.99. The second scenario was presented by USDA. That was a $4 million package, zero forgiven as well, over a 40-year term with 3.1%, and it would require us to raise our monthly rate to $46.02. The last one, which is the package that we are presenting before you today, and the application was not submitted in the packet because it's 385 pages long, but you do have access to it. The last scenario was presented by DEQ, or the Department of Environmental Quality. It encompassed a $4 million package, $2 million forgiven, so half forgiven, over a 30-year life of the loan, 2% interest, and it would require us to raise our sewer rate to $43.04. As you can recall, by virtue of resolution some time back, and because of our ongoing deficiencies in the system, the council saw it through to raise the sewer rate to $46. So we are already meeting that. That would that package would require $89,000 in debt service each year. So we have sufficiently prepared for it. What this would accomplish is we could fully fund the siphon project, plus we could fully fund the Abraham trunk line, which is a extremely failing, takes in all the I&I or inflow and infiltration it can, inflating flow numbers to the plant. That project could also be designed and accomplished as a different bidding process, but it could be housed within this funding package. DEQ is the shepherd of all of the state infrastructure funding. They are the pioneer. They're holding those funds. This is part of that. So we believe that this is a very viable funding package and recommend approval of the resolution.
So basically what you're saying is out of a $4 million project, the city will end up only paying $2 million on that.
Correct.
And in other words, for the taxpayers, we have saved them $2 million.
For the sewer users.
For the sewer users, yes. Plus the $100,000 that we got on the...
That's exactly what it is. That's what these state programs do that we want to take advantage of.
So could we gain the funds for the whole project. Is there anything to keep us from moving forward with the sewer line replacement before we begin the siphon project?
That ball is continuously rolling. We have there are different elements of the project that are being analyzed that we are funding directly from our budget. So regardless, so by the time this packet is entertained and it's given to us, we probably still won't be to a point to where we can move on to physical construction. So it should fall in concert with our timeline if we were to apply. The deadline is December 8th. Which is why you have a resolution before you today.
So we should table this till next month?
No.
Unless you want to pass on $4 million until next year.
I mean, make a difference.
Yeah. I'll write you a check. Very good. Thank you, Thomas. Any questions for Thomas? Comments from the audience? Council?
So Thomas, is the package to apply for this, is that pretty much done already?
It is. It's completely filled out. It has all the exhibits and necessary financial reports that DEQ requires. There are other things that have to come in after we apply, after they score us, go through the rating system. We have those pretty much ready. So we're
ready
as prepared as
we can be.
Yeah.
Good job. Thank you. Okay. So anything else? Looking for a motion to approve?
I make a motion we approve resolution number 231114.
I have a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you very much. That was unanimous as well.
Ordinance 23716, this is a consent to annex from the public hearing. We started the meeting with number 23W005. I'll get it out. The ordinance is 23716. Ms. Sardi, read the title only. This is the first reading. Is there any stress to get this done right away, Thomas, or do we second reading next meeting?
There's no, Mr. Mayor. There's no need to declare an emergency. You can hold two readings on this.
Thank you. So, Ms. Sardi, please.
Ordinance number 23-716. This is the first reading. An ordinance of the City of Winston, Oregon City Council annexing certain property identified as tax lot 2500 in Township 28 South, Range 6 West, Section 15 CB, property ID number R50432, within the ownership of Christopher and Larissa Gilmore.
Thank you, Ms. Sardi. Mr. McIntyre, you've already seen the staff report. Do we hit the high spots again? Are we okay?
151 Winston Section Road, failing septic. They want to hook into our sewer line and therefore requires the necessity of annexation.
Any comments or questions from the audience? Council? Okay, so we need an approval to move this to the second reading. Who wants to make that motion, please?
I'll make a motion that we move this to the second reading.
Thank you. For a second?
I'll second.
Motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign. Motion carries. Thank you. Upcoming agenda items, Mr. McIntosh?
None at this time, Your Honor.
None agenda items from council? Good of the order, our check copies were in your packet. Claims in excess of $500. Announcements. The Christmas party, 2 to 4 on Community Center for the employees and staff. Economic Development, December 14th at noon on City Hall. We're also going to, that's the same day as we're going to
that,
do the...
Correction, Mr. Mayor, that would be the 13th. Wednesday the 13th at noon for Economic Development.
Economic Development, okay. No park board meetings until March of 24. Winston office, city offices will be closed Monday, December...
It should be 25th.
The 25th, yeah. Correct.
25th.
URA is on the 14th of
July. And I'm getting to that, yeah. And then for the holiday weekend, URA is the 14th at 5, right here, be there, be square. And then executive session, Mr. McIntosh?
None, Your Honor.
Thank you and good night.
The 15th is a 5. Because the 14th.
Yes.
Yes.
So,
meeting adjourned 8:17.